Happy Friday, everybody. Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, and guest Nick Alberga from Sportsnet coming at you around the horn. What's up, guys? Happy Friday.
What's up, Nick? Welcome back, man.
Thanks so much for having me. I look at every day as Groundhog Day or Monday as we know it. What's going on, guys?
Not too much, man. I mean, another busy night in the NHL last night. Excited to get it to everything with you. And of course, like, I know the official midway point in the season is coming up. I think it's after games end this coming Monday. So it's a good time for us to look at the surprises and disappointments and some of the awards contenders around the league. And then also, like, I think a team like the Red Wings last night just keeps us on our toes any given day, right, guys? Like, you really never know what to expect in this league, and to see one of the biggest upsets of the season so far happen so close to the midway point is pretty resounding.
Can I go on a rant to start, please?
Yes, please, honestly.
All right. So, and this is no gripe on the league, by the way. If we're in on betting and gambling, we're in on betting and gambling. We're not somewhere in the middle. And my issue comes with announcing starting goalies. And we've talked about this before, right? Like, the New York Islanders this year are synonymous for not announcing their goalie till warm-up hits. Well, last night, for any Andre Vasilevsky owner out there, a.k.a. Nick Alberga, who was waiting for that Vasilevsky start, it didn't happen because Curtis McElhaney came in. But I call it karma because he was lit up by the Detroit Red Wings. So it came full circle. That was just my wonder as I woke up on this glorious Friday. We're either in or we're out on gambling, but you're right. That stunned me. And the bigger stunner actually in that game, guys, is the fact that Adam Ernie took that Barclay Goodrow punch and then returned. That's a tough chin.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, the crazy thing I thought about the game was the fact that Tampa almost put up 50 shots and they still couldn't get through Detroit. And that's like one of those things about betting too. It's just like, why on earth would you put a shekel on Detroit on any night? And then you look at the stat line the next day and you're like, wait, Tampa didn't play a bad game, but still got the poor decision. So anyway, Nick, I did want to get your reaction before we get too deep here into the two coaching changes in the North Division. They went head to head last night. Obviously, we have Sutter in Calgary, and Montreal made a decision a couple of weeks ago to let Claude Julien go. What are you looking like for the rest of the season with these two teams?
Well, first and foremost, I encourage everybody to go check out Daryl Sutter's post-game remarks on Zoom yesterday, which we're all looking forward to seeing in this iteration of Daryl Sutter 2.0, if you will, in Calgary, because he was doodling something, and nobody has a clue what he was doodling. And there was actually, you know, a whole little contest to figure out what Daryl Sutter was doodling. But I think it was a carbon copy Daryl Sutter effort Thursday night. Granted, one game, but you got a scrap from Milan Lucic, who has a familiarity with him back to Los Angeles. Sam Bennett, much maligned Sam Bennett from the previous regime, picks up an assist. Josh Levo scores two goals. I think they surrendered 20 shots on goal in that game. Granted, it was Montreal on the back-to-back. So that's my expectation moving forward. I think Calgary's going to be a much better team, at least defensively, here in the second half of this season. That's why I love the appeal of a Jacob Markstrom in between the pipes. And I do like some appeal to Mark Giordano in a second high. Or second half by low, I should say. As for Montreal, I think they're a better team too. I think they've showed that so far under Dominique Ducharme, 3-2-3. A couple files I was looking at, guys, and you guys have as well. Jesperi Kotkaniemi starting to heat up. You know, I wondered what Dominique Ducharme, a guy who's had a history with junior level players and younger players in the game and evolving their game, the impact he would have, and so far so good. And ditto for Thomas Tatar, right? A guy in a contract here who really, really, really fell in the doghouse of Claude Julien, I think has really elevated his play. Not to mention defensively, I think they've been a lot better. And I still think there's a smidgen of a buy low window on Carey Price. How do you guys feel?
I think I'm a little more interested in Jacob Markstrom playing in the defensive structured system of Daryl Sutter that has won championships before. I mean, he doesn't have the talent that he did with LA in terms of superstars, but, you know, hey, can he get more out of each individual player? Sean Monahan individually, Johnny Gaudreau individually, Matthew Tkachuk individually, even some of the secondary guys like Bennett. I mean, Bennett should have a bigger role based on where he was drafted than he's had in his career with the Flames to this point, and they've had multiple coaching changes. So yeah, I just like that overall impact. I'm with you, Nick. I've watched a couple of those pressers, and it gets me fired up, even though he's kind of a low-key guy. It's just like he's an epic guy, you know. He's taken over midseason before and won a championship in that season. And for me, like, Jacob Markstrom is maybe the guy that could really benefit the most in fantasy. So to answer your question about price, I would probably rather have Markstrom for the rest of the season. I know one guy out there in fantasy was wondering, like, should I trade for Markstrom now because I got Rask banged up, I got Robin Leonard banged up, the clock's ticking. Like, I would make that trade to get Markstrom under Sutter.
I don't know if I would go that far. I mean, I like this Markstrom play. He's one of my, you know, best goalies in my weekly league where I have to lock the lineup. And I can always count on Marky, right, to keep the Flames in the games. But I just didn't love seeing Levo on the scoreboard twice in Sutter's debut. I mean, if we're looking here in fantasy value, in betting value, in any value at all, contender value, you've got to get the big guys going. And I know it's been one game, sure, but I think those are the guys you need to see and step up. And I think with Markstrom, it's kind of shades of Vancouver last year where he's going to have to build a team out a lot, which I like that in fantasy. I want my goalie to have a lot of saves, no doubt about it. But I think if we're looking at actual on-ice product here, I much rather go with the Carey Price in that argument. Just because Montreal, we saw when they can click, they can be a very, very good team. I think when Calgary clicks, it's going to be a team challenging for the fourth spot in the division. Again, you got to get into the postseason. Anything can happen. But if Montreal clicks, it's a higher gear to me than Calgary is capable of playing at.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think from a high-end forward standpoint, maybe I side with Calgary because I think, you know, a guy like Johnny Gaudreau is maybe the best offensive forward that you have of those two teams. But I know what you're saying. Like, I totally agree. I think there's way more depth in Montreal as opposed to Calgary. And that's been the biggest concern, right, is finding that depth scoring outside of, say, your top six or your top three. And it always seems that Calgary has one line going, one line not. I know they signed, or they looked at Richie to play with, Brett Richie to play on the top line. I know it's one game, as you prefaced, but again, it'll be my fascination and my ire to see what happens and what develops in Calgary over the next little while, because certainly if Daryl Sutter's not going to fix this, they need a monumental change. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's on the ice or up top, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and just to be clear about what I was saying about their top players, I do not think that those guys are going to reach a higher point ceiling than they have in the past. They're certainly not going to under Sutter. The hope for Calgary's futures and, you know, the team's trajectory in general is that you make those guys better all-around players so that when you get to the postseason, you can right some of the wrongs of last year when they didn't have a goalie and they still almost beat the Stars and they didn't have Matthew Tkachuk for the final four games of that series and they still almost beat the Stars. So I mean, there is some appeal there. I agree with you, Robbie, though. Like, if it comes to playoff time, though, right now, based on what I've seen over the whole body of the season, Montreal has the chance to come out of that division in the best case scenario. I don't know that I could envision Calgary coming out of the North Division in the playoff bracket.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I do love the appeal of like any team getting in, and especially with Sutter too, right? I mean, Bob, you'll say the same thing. I think you mentioned it the last program. Like, if there's one guy to rally the troops to win a playoff series, it's probably Daryl Sutter, right? But Nick, I also want to get your take on the Chicago Blackhawks team as we approach the midpoint of the season. They didn't play a great game against the Stars, but they got what counts as a victory. That's one team in fantasy that I've just had a hard time believing it's going to continue. But here they are still rattling off wins. Kevin Lankinen has been maybe the biggest surprise at the position this season, excluding, you know, some of the other six rookie goalies. I think there's seven total, as Petey was talking about yesterday on the network. So what are you making of Lankinen and the Blackhawks, and can they keep this thing rolling?
I'm all in on Chicago, guys, to make the playoffs. I just think you start to look at that Central Division, every team's running at a racetrack. Well, we all know how we feel about Columbus. Nashville, that's it. That's all. They're sellers at the deadline. The entire team's injured, and they're just not doing it. Dallas is running out of racetrack. They got games in hand, but they keep losing games. Like, that was a big-time loss, and I get it. It was another one against Chicago after you destroyed Chicago back on Tuesday night, and they were expecting a bit of a bounce back and maybe a win from the Hawks, so I get that. But I think it's one thing to have games in hand. It's another thing to take care of business, and Dallas just hasn't been able to get on track. You know, due to COVID and many different situations. I think they really, really miss Alex Radulov. So I think when you look at Chicago, I think honestly it's being understated the importance of Patrick Kane, how impressive this guy truly has been, especially without your top two centers and Jonathan Taves and Kirby Doc, what Patrick Kane has put together. And my man, the Cat, Alex DeBrincat, guys, you know, in fantasy this year, he's been an absolute weapon. I remember this because I covered the draft couple years back when Alex DeBrincat was stolen. Yes, there was theft in the arena when he went in the second round for Chicago. Maybe it's because I saw him play in Erie. Many thought it was the McDavid factor. No, thank you. DeBrincat's legit. This guy can produce, and he's proving it this season. And then the goaltending. But I think the man who's lost in the shuffle here is actually Jeremy Calton, the former World Junior member for Team Canada, by the way. You know, played in the NHL for the Hawks, but I think he's done a masterful job. What they have on this roster, there's no way in hell they should be in a playoff spot right now. We'll say that.
Hey, Nick, I think he's a former Islander also, Carlton, no?
No, I just... No.
You forget that?
Yeah, I misremember. My favorite quote of all time.
Well, he's definitely one of the youngest coaches in all of professional sports, and it's good to see him doing well because last year was kind of a bumpy ride, and then and he got the most out of that team when it mattered most in the playoffs. And I think he's definitely right up there with Dean Evason, Joel Quenneville, for speaking of Colleton, for coach of the year at this point. You can make the case for any of those three guys, especially after some of the big victories this week, right? What the Florida Panthers did yesterday, rallying again, looks like they're a bona fide playoff team. Minnesota Wild beat the Golden Knights 2 in a row. So Evason's stock is rising for sure. And then off of two of the guys you mentioned, we've talked about the Patrick Kane last we checked, +750. There's also Kevin Lankinen in for the Vezina as a rookie, which would be tough to do, but the list is short for Vezina contenders at this point. And I think he's on it, +1,000 for Lankinen to win the Vezina. If he keeps this up and gets the Blackhawks to the playoffs, there's a case for that player to win that award, I think.
Yeah, and I must clarify as well, and thank you, Bobby. Yes, he did play for the Islanders. He did not play for the Hawks before people go nuts on Twitter. And to answer your statement, totally agree. The goal, I don't know about you guys, like the fascination to me when it comes to rookies hasn't been so much that Lafreniere and co have struggled and Stützle. We all knew it was coming, and Byfield hasn't even really played. It's more so the young crop of netminders and how every year it seems to be a bigger and bigger story. I think going into this, like Ilya Sorokin's a guy I'm watching in the second half, although I think the Islanders have done a tremendous job of insulating him. I don't think he's been overly tested, but he's winning his games right now. It's just more so, you know, the guy's coming out of nowhere in between the pipes, isn't it?
Well, what about in keeper leagues? I mean, I'm starting to get a little bit concerned the future of fantasy keeper leagues with guys like Lafreniere, guys like Kaapo Kakko. Jack Hughes has completely cooled off for the Devils. Carter Hart has been, you know, next to nothing in terms of value this season in fantasy, let alone a keeper league. I mean, I don't want to press the panic button here. I don't want to overreact, but it's funny that we're already seeing immediate impacts from guys like Kaapo Kakko and guys like Kevin Lankinen. There's been a lot of other rookie goalies, honestly, Nick, that you could say have gained major stock in keeper leagues. Like if you've got one and you have to press the keeper button on a Lafreniere, on a Hart, on a Kakko, how could you do that right now?
It's a good question. I actually had a mailbag question this week. You know, is it fair to think about dropping Carter Hart? I think it's easy to forget how young some of these guys are. Like you would think Carter Hart's been an NHL goalie for 15 years, right? He's 22. I think oftentimes when it comes to young goalies and, you know, Lankinen is a bit longer in the tooth. It took him longer to get to the show, but there's going to be some turbulent times. And I think as a fantasy owner in keeper leagues, you have to ride out the good times and the bad times. I think Jack Hughes is a perfect, you know, correlation. He had a really hot start. And I don't know about you guys. I'm having a difficult time this season trying to quantify what a fantasy file is because we have no clue what's happening behind the scenes. Now, I'd be the first to admit I'm the king of ridicule and trolling on social media, but I give mad respect for these guys to play in this type of setting, this type of season, especially with COVID running rampant, especially in the States and the long layoffs. You can't get in any routine at all. I think Dallas is a perfect indication. Buffalo was off to a pretty decent start. So was New Jersey. But to have to deal with that over a body of work like this is unprecedented. And so that's why I'm giving a lot of these guys sort of a pass this season and already moving forward to next season.
Yeah, I mean, even look at what Vegas is dealing with right now with Fleury going on the COVID list. Hopefully comes off soon. Hopefully it's nothing like it was with Crosby where he went on and then came off the next day or whatever it was. But, you know, if he's going to miss time, Robin Leonard's also banged up. Then you're going to go to Oscar Dansk as one of the best teams in the – in the Western Conference. I mean, that's crazy to think about that it could come to that point for a team that had the best goalie tandem in the league. They were equipped for something like this, and it still wasn't enough. And you see Oscar Dansk playing games for the first time in years. I know he had that nice flash in the pan when they were an expansion team and he won some games for them. So maybe he could win some games and be a streaming option with such a deep team in front of him, but they're also without Pietrangelo now. So like, what, it just makes you worry about Vegas in the short term. All of a sudden, everything's going amazingly for Fleury. He's a Vezina contender, and now this.
Well, it just shows you too, and I know Rob's going to piggyback off me. I just think it just shows you how quickly things can change in this fantasy season. Even, you know, for example, you look at the Los Angeles Kings, who most recently 2 weeks ago were on a hot run. They've really hit a wall lately, surrendering goals, and now their third string Troy Grosnick is playing. Yes, the same one who was on Edmonton, sort of because they had by default pretty much, and now picked up off waivers, now with LA and utilizing their third string. But we expected that going into this peculiar season, right, guys? But I think from a DFS standpoint, you could have never told me in my wildest dreams that Troy Grosnick would not only start a game but win a hockey game this season.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And I think that the point to you, that you're making is the Kings, you know, they look great for a couple games and you're thinking, okay, we're way in on this team. I'm picking up Kempe. I'm picking up these other guys, right? You know, we all did it. Yeah. And then it's like, they go cold for a few games and you're like, wait, okay, now Kempe's the first on my cut list. And it's like how quickly that changes. It's like literally 12 hours, gauge my temperature at 9 a.m. and then gauge my temperature again at 9 p.m. And I might be all over the radar. I do think Petey, like Vegas, I would pick up Dansk as a streaming option just because the team is so solid. But now you have Minnesota as not just a playoff threat, but a legitimate contender in there. And I think when you're looking at coach of the year, obviously Dean Evason's name comes up, but look at their back end. I mean, their defense is unchanged. It's so solid. It's so deep. You have insulation for the rookie forward, Kirill Kaprizov, to play a little bit looser. You have insulation for Kaapo Kakkonen to get a higher save percentage, to face less high danger chances. But then you look at Chicago, just go on to dailyfaceoff.com and look at that team. And then think about how impressive it is what Jeremy Colliton has done. It's unbelievable. And that's why it's like in a keeper league, obviously, I'm keeping Alex DeBrincat. He's an amazing player, but it's like, how good can Chicago even be next year over an 82-game season if they don't make some drastic changes to this roster?
I have a scorching hot take, and I'm known for this. I think Chicago is last year's New York Rangers. You start from the rebuild letter. You go to these guys playing over their head. You go to your perennial Hart Trophy contender from Panarin to Patrick Kane. You look at the lack of expectations. I think Chicago is going to be a team caught in the crosshairs of just having an exceptional season going into next year. Everything's going to be different, and there's going to be pressure on them to win too quickly, right? Because they're a team that's firmly in a rebuild. I don't know. That's just my philosophy and my theory on what could happen for Chicago. But that's right away what I've been thinking about this team. You got the young goalie come in that nobody knows about, wins a ton of hockey games. You're feeling great about life, but that's always my wonder with teams trying to take the next step after the rebuild letter, because that's a theme in this league, guys, is you know, what do they do next and how do you live up to expectation, right?
Yeah, and I think when you look at the 56-game season layout and just, you know, what needs to go into this from a competitive standpoint, and it can be a surge, it can get you into the playoffs, and your regression may not happen because it's such a short season, right? Like the Florida Panthers, the Chicago Blackhawks, like in an 82-game season, we would have legitimate concerns about those teams actually finishing the job that they started and making the playoffs. But because it's a shortened season, they can get that hot stretch, sustain it as long as they're healthy, maybe even get some players back, like in the case of Doc or Taves, you never know. Sounds like more possibly Doc could come back at some point. But yeah, it's just, and it adds to the pressure of teams like Dallas and Columbus, right? Like it seems like those teams are unraveling before our eyes every other game. And Columbus just blew a 3-goal lead. Khudobin can't stop a thing right now. They're going to have to trust Ottinger quite a bit down the stretch to even get back into contention, Dallas. So, and it's just crazy how the dynamic has changed, but the dynamic will be different next year. And that's what could hurt Chicago with what you're saying, Nick.
Well, and for Columbus, Nick, I know you were tweeting about Laine a little bit last night and Tortorella's relationship with him. I mean, think about the trade deadline coming up in just about a month's time here. You know, you have to think some teams are going to be a little bit apprehensive now, especially with the expansion draft in the offseason too, to go out and maybe make a splash like that, acquiring a high-end offensive forward, because if they don't make the playoffs, which it's a long shot, right? There's, I don't think it's ever going to happen for Columbus this season. I mean, they'd have to win tons of games in a row, even get good, you know, good chemistry on the back end. And I just don't see that this season. So it's like, why go make a big splash when you're really not going to pay dividends? Whereas the Jets, they get a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois. If they make the playoffs, Dubois is going to be a difference maker. You can guarantee that. So it's going to have a lot of implications, I think, in fantasy the next couple of weeks here.
Definitely. Columbus is a team, you know, even their captain, Nick Foligno, right, is a pending UFA. I've watched a lot of Columbus Blue Jackets hockey the last little while. I think it's more so, you know, I own a bunch of their guys, and it's sad to say because that team has really, really struggled. But the biggest, you know, noticeable difference, guys, is defensively. And I can't pin this directly on the goaltending, quite frankly, the last little while with Merzlikins out and now he's back. I thought Jonas Korpisalo was actually really, really good. And I actually got fired up, took some heat from my buddies for picking up Korpisalo and our keeper after he was dropped. And I spent all my free agent budget on it. And people ask why. Well, I said, you know, one look at the bubble last year against Toronto. Last year, he was phenomenal before he got injured in that shootout move against Chicago. I think it was Taves. I just think the system is a bit looser, if that makes sense, for Columbus this season. And the amount of high danger chances, the stress they're putting their goalies under is uncanny. I think Zach Werenski and Seth Jones are the engine that drives that team. And I think they've really, really struggled this season, guys.
Yeah. And for that to unravel like it did yesterday with Elvis back in the net is just that's really disheartening. Like the only glimmer that we've been talking about with Columbus is that maybe Werenski gets hot, gets back to you know, the pace from last year when he led the position in goals, or if Elvis gets back into a shutout form, that those could be the changing factors, the game changers that could get Columbus back into contention. But their odds are getting longer and longer, and it's not getting any prettier on the ice. And you know, you don't know what Tortorella's future is with the Blue Jackets past this season, and based on what's happening this year with Dubois and now Laine, it's starting to become an organizational problem. It's not just like a John Tortorella on the ice problem. They're trying to mold the roster to suit him. They already have everything working against them in free agency, it seems, each year. And then now this. So it's his future is in turmoil right now in terms of being their coach.
Nick, I got to know, is Sergei Bobrovsky, is this legit? Is all these wins, his save percentage is getting a little better? I know it was 875 against the Blue Jackets, but do you believe in Bob the rest of the way?
Well, firstly, let me thank a friend of the show, of course, David Satriano, because I posed the question, who should I start, two or three? And Bobrovsky was among them on Thursday, and he said, don't start Bobrovsky, and I was right there with him. I own Bobrovsky, don't get me wrong. I thought it was a nice value play. I thought Florida was going to be okay in that division. They've been better than okay so far this season, but I still don't trust this guy long term. I think he's going to get me some wins, but you're still capable of these meltdowns like yesterday, surrendering four goals to Columbus. I know they come back and win that game, but I think if you're looking for statistics, say GAA and save percentage, I think you just have to continually be weary of Bobrovsky. Maybe it's more so that system. Maybe I'm getting on this guy a bit too much, but it's more so the contract than what he gets paid. I expect a shutout every night, guys.
Yeah, you're not getting those these days, but 10-2 and 2, you know, in terms of his record, will definitely get the job done. And he's closed the gap a little bit on Chris Drieger. And I think Florida just in general, like you even see that. I saw that like there was the first time really that I watched the Panthers, and I was like, you know, Barkov could be in the heart conversation if that team like wins the division or something crazy like that. And with the record they have, they're in contention, and Barkov scored the tying goal and, you know, fired up and everything like that. This is a guy that's been an elite player, still overlooked the past couple of years. But now if he's really going to make Florida into a contender, he's the guy, even more so than Huberdeau and Ekblad and anybody else in Quenneville. It's like Barkov is taking that team to a next level this year.
I'm just going to be, as the producer, proactive and apologize to the listeners for any technical problems we have. Peter sounds like he's underwater breaking up. Hey, that's the world we're living in right now. So let's just power through. It's a Friday. Let's power through. We can still understand what Peter's saying, but we all acknowledge that something's going on there, and let's power through. We'll get the picks. We'll talk pucks and let's go.
All right. So last thing about the Panthers, I wanted to bring up five defensemen had an assist. Five different defensemen had an assist against the Blue Jackets. That's getting a bit ridiculous. Mackenzie Weegar is a guy, I don't know where he came from, but you need to pick him up in fantasy. 22% rostered in Yahoo. That's a slam dunk, Nick. And I think if we're talking about Barkov being in the Hart conversation, we certainly have to mention Aaron Ekblad needs to be in the Norris conversation. He played 30 minutes in that game against Columbus. And if you watch Florida play, every single shift, you can just tell Ekblad is engaged. He's physical. He's making a difference offensively. He's making smart plays. That would certainly be a nice little outsider there for the Norris nod this season.
Definitely will be. And I'll throw another name because the league loves these type of stories. It's never sort of the coaches who dominate outside of Bruce Cassidy, as we know, is Joel Quenneville, right? I think just in general, what they've done, the last couple of years, the changeover from Dale Tallon now to new management, what they do behind the bench, what they made the Hornqvist pickup, I thought was massive. You just look back at that trade, Mike Matheson, Colton Sevier, I think the clear winner in this deal and going forward was the Florida Panthers, just the pedigree that a Hornqvist brings to the table. And it's aligned perfectly too with this division, guys. They've played exceptional and they're getting the goaltending right now for the most part, I would say. And I for sure agree with Ekblad. Like, he's been a tower of power. And it's sort of funny with Weegar too, working in this market in Toronto. That was like the sexy name that everybody was conversing about, maybe the Maple Leafs being interested in. It never came to fruition because the Panthers had so much turnover last offseason. But you're right. He's a guy I've been monitoring and have on my watch list because he's starting to accumulate the points here.
And how about the Panthers scoring depth? I know we were talking about with James Harding, how the Islanders have a bunch of guys around 9-10 goals, but here I see six different players with at least 9 goals for the Florida Panthers. Hornqvist leads them with 11. He's been a huge impact. Like you said, Nick, Huberto, Barkov, Ekblad up at 9 goals for a defenseman, among the league leaders for sure. And then Verhaeghe and Frank Vetrano, and Vetrano scored the winner and he's playing with Barkov these days. So add him to the streaming list with anybody else that we're talking about here. Weegar, like you said, Robbie and Vetrano have to be considered from one of the hottest teams in the league, and they're keeping it going here. So start to view the Florida Panthers in a different level than you've ever viewed them before. If you just started playing fantasy, maybe in the past, 5 or 10 years.
Well, let's turn ahead to the Friday slate here. I do want to tee up our producer, Bobby. He has been on fire with the sledgehammer picks. I don't know where you're getting this, Bobby, but you are dialed in. You are in postseason form halfway through the regular season here. So why don't I lay the floor out to you? What are you looking at on Friday?
Okay, I don't have a sledgehammer for Friday, but just seeing what's going on here with the line movements and also the way Vegas has played, they haven't been great. I like St. Louis, Vegas heading out to St. Louis. St. Louis opened as a dog. Now they're favorites. Binnington's got the new deal. They're full strength, ready to go. I know Tarasenko's not back in the lineup, or is he? He's not back in the lineup just yet. He is?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I didn't realize that. Just give me the Blues tonight. I'm going to take the Blues. It's not a sledgehammer, but that's what jumped out at me right away. And I got nothing else for you. It's the Blues all the way for me at home against Vegas.
I mean, I was surprised by the timing of the Binnington contract, to be honest, right? Like, he hasn't had a great start to the season. He's in his UFA year, or at least he was. Now he's locked up for 6 years, $36 million. I mean, it's I know he brought them the cup, which is what matters, but what is he going to do from you from here on? I don't know. It wasn't the best start to the season, so it was an interesting timing, at least.
We talking picks or are we talking contracts here?
Yeah, I'm mentioning my thoughts on the biggest contract of the season to this point.
What did Robbie say, though? Robbie said something.
I was just looking at the board before. We do want to react, though, to the Binnington thing. Yeah. But the Coyotes, this is an interesting storyline. Darcy Kemper's week to week now. Raanta is capable of being a number one if he stays healthy. I think if you're short in fantasy season-long formats, you should go look at Antti Raanta on the waiver wire. You could do a whole lot worse. And this Arizona team, say what you want, they're not that exciting, but they do keep it close. A lot of one-goal hockey games. Even if you're not getting a ton of Ws from Raanta, I think you're going to get saves and save percentage.
Raanta was incredible against the Avalanche the other night. He was unbelievably dialed in. So Arizona tonight against Minnesota, they're getting to the point where Minnesota is these huge favorites. It's
top contender.
It's getting a little out of control. I like Minnesota a lot, but you know, minus 180, 200 or so. It's getting a little out of hand. Go ahead. We could talk Bennington if you want to talk Bennington.
No, the Blues haven't been that good this year. Let's talk about the Wild. Let's talk about their chances. Do they actually have a long shot chance to win the division? That's something we never would have thought in a million years, that they could maybe even contend for the division with teams like Vegas and Colorado. But do they have an actual chance here, guys?
I'm probably lukewarm on Minnesota. Like, I think it's easy to forget recency bias, I guess, the Guerin era, if you will. This is what Minnesota does, right? They make the playoffs. They're a nice team. You know, they're a nice team. To quote Dennis Bernstein, my former co-host on NHL Network Radio, they're a nice team. And that's what they'll continue to be. I think it always helps when you bring in a Kirill Kaprizov from the KHL. Great drafting a couple of years back. He's like a lottery pick at this point, right? You're playing with house money. I think he's the front runner for the Calder Trophy this season. And maybe you have the other front runner for the Calder Trophy in Kaapo Kähkönen, who's been just an exceptional story, guys. But I think when you look at Minnesota, I think they're going to be a team not fighting for it. Like, I think they're going to make it, but I think they're in the four slot. I know it's been a great story, but I expect a team specifically like Colorado to really turn it on in the second half here.
Well, and I would even say, Petey, that I think the Blues are more of a contender than the Wild are. And I know, you know, Bennington throwing the 6-year deal and everything. I think that's all right. I know his save percentage hasn't been great this season. I think he's playing around a 907, which you'd love to see him above a 915, right, for that kind of money. But this has been a weird year for save percentage for goalies, too. I think the league average is down around 907, actually. So, you know, when you look at it like that, it's not terrible. But I just think that St. Louis is one of those teams that when they get to the postseason, which they will, like, they are going to make noise. You know, it's like they kind of have the luxury of being a little lackadaisical during the regular season. Same thing with Boston, right? These teams that just do it every year. So I hope that I'm reading this correctly and that Jordan Binnington can still deliver his A game in the postseason when it counts most for him.
I'll be on the minority on this take, guys, but I'm buying on second half Jordan Binnington. We talked about just the variables and the intangibles of this just weird season. I think still a reality in pro sports is the pressure of playing for a new contract. And I'm not giving him a pass here, clearly, on his up and down season, but I think it's easy to forget last regular season. I think Jordan Binnington was a quality goaltending option. I know he struggled in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but I think now that it's in the rear view, he got his contract. I think it's been a great story. He's won a Stanley Cup. And I think Torey Krug's going to be much better. I don't think we put enough stock in the fantasy world, maybe, about guys who make, you know, big time changes. As you guys know, on my do not draft list this season, I had Alex Pietrangelo. I think it was just more so, you know, guys that I just, you wonder about spending so much time with one team and then moving over. Torey Krug, again, fills in for Pietrangelo there. So I'm going to say St. Louis turns it on here in the second half, and that'll be a lot because of their goaltending. Not to mention as well, all the injury concerns. They've been really, really banged up this season.
Yeah, I would be really surprised if any of those teams, including LA, who's trending up for sure over the course of the season. But like, I would be surprised if any of those other teams, you know, Arizona, San Jose, Anaheim, like if any of them got in over St. Louis, I'd be pretty shocked, honestly. And speaking of Kaapo Kähkönen, I mean, 8 straight wins, 940 save percentage. We talked about that list of 7 goalies who are rookies in the top 200 this week. He's number one out of the rookie goalies, ahead of even Lankinen. So that's how far he's come. It's not even a timeshare anymore with Cam Talbot. I mean, you don't even hear his name thrown into the conversation anymore because it's Kakinen's team.
Yeah, and you can't understate, you know, what he's done in fantasy. I mean, at least for my team in particular, picking him up, I think one of the first weeks of the season, I had guys like Samsonov on the shelf. I have Shesty on the shelf with that team. I picked up Nedeljkovic just hoping to get some decent starts. If I didn't have Kähkönen, I would not be where I am in that league. I think you can agree, Nick, that certainly that is one of the better storylines this season. But thank you, as always, Golden Muzzy, for your great insight.
Yes. Are we rapid here?
We're struggling with Peter's connection here. Peter, you know what? We're going to do something. We're live on the air. This show may not make it to YouTube, but the way it's going, why don't you sign out, sign back in. Let's see what we have. Me, Robbie, and Nick will carry it for the next, 5 to 10 minutes, and then we'll wrap shortly after. But Nick, look at you, both got the fingers up.
Yeah, we got enough stuff to say. We got, it's Friday. We got stuff to talk about. I know, you go ahead, Nick. Tee us up.
Okay.
Where are you going?
I was just going to ask if I'm reaching too much for a narrative when it comes to Alex Nedeljkovic. Like, I really want this to turn out to be the next Jordan Binnington, right? I know Kevin Lankinen's been correlated as well. But as for Kakinen, I was probably the only person in the world in the offseason who was not befuddled. Maybe that's too strong of a word. But the fact that Cam Talbot came in. And I wondered if they were seeing past Kaapo Kakinen. And again, maybe it's me just being naive because we knew that we're going to see more than two goalies in this weird season, right? And Kakinen's a guy who's really seized the opportunity. Like, I love these stories. I always, you know, sort of sit here and laugh and smile over Vitek Vanacek. Like, I think that's a remarkable story in Washington too, guys, that all this talk about Henrik Lundqvist, he's backing up Ilya Samsonov. And I just wonder down the road if Vanacek's like telling his grandkids, you know what, I almost didn't even make my NHL debut because Henrik Lundqvist, yes, the great almighty Henrik Lundqvist, was supposed to be the backup. And then unfortunately, some health concerns, Vanacek was thrust into the fire. And I think he's been a great story too. I'm just all about pulling on the heartstrings, guys.
Well, that the Vanacek thing is a major storyline, Nick, because he had to play every single night. Like, you couldn't put Craig Anderson in there. You know, I mean, and look, we love Craig Anderson, okay, but you couldn't put him in there. So Vanacek had to go every night. It didn't matter the matchup. He was going against Boston. He was going against everybody, right? Early season, those were big games. So now Samsonov comes in. He's playing all right. He's looking like the goalie we thought he was going to be. But the fact that Vanacek is capable of being a workhorse guy really says a lot about the organizational goaltending outlook there. And I think too, like, I don't know, when I look at the board on certain nights and I don't find out a goaltender matchup until like 6 p.m., I can't get invested in the game because if I think Cam Talbot's going for Minnesota, I'm not betting. If I think Kaapo Kakinen's going for Minnesota, I am. You know what I mean? So it's like, I need to know at least by 5 where we're going with the goalies here.
These coaches, if we're going to be involved in the betting here,
let's go.
Can we just know who's going to be playing in net? Is that too much to ask? I hope this gets corrected, though, you know, moving forward next year. Like, it wasn't always like this. Now you're not getting an announcement ever. You don't know who's starting until, you know, right before puck drop. So it's very tough for folks who are placing their hard-earned wages on these games. They don't know, you know, what to do.
I love how this comes full circle from my original rant to kick off this great podcast. And we got Pete Jensen back. Pete, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? So I actually wanted to say earlier when you mentioned that Sorokin-Vasilevsky thing, I forgot this morning, Robbie, we had Vasilevsky in our starting slot along with Markstrom, who got the win, and Sorokin was on the darn bench. So
there you go.
About us. We're looking good the rest of the season in that league, though. You know what I mean? If we're missing out on a Sorokin W for Vasi and Markstrom, we're making up ground big time.
And we got Kakinen too in that league. That's just a ridiculous goalie quartet, you could say. And you know, and then I guess I wanted to just touch on the Friday slate. I mean, I know like DFS wise, we were looking at Timo Meyers probably coming back for the Sharks, and he has like something like 8 points over his past 5 games, and Hurdle might come back too. So they might play together. So nobody's picking those guys these days, but they could have some nice value here. And then, I guess maybe the Kings, you don't know if like Cal Peterson's coming back. That's the other thing, right? You don't know if it's Quick or Peterson. Maybe they have some against the grain appeal at plus 190. You could take that now and hope for the best with one of those two guys. But if it's Grossnick again, it's probably going to get ugly there.
I don't know. When I got the alert the other day, I think it was like 5:30 or 6 that Cal Peterson o'clock. Was on the COVID. Yeah. And I'm like, who? I had to literally go on and look at their depth chart. I'm like, who? I didn't even see Grossnick's name on it. And then I'm reading about it. I flicked the game on. I'm like, who is this guy? I had no idea what this number or anything. So I don't know if I can go back to the well there. You guys know I like the Kings a lot, but if it's Troy Grossnick, I don't know if I can take that.
No.
I'm with you. I love that we have this platform as a therapy session because undoubtedly, guys, there are billions of gamblers and people who play fantasy who are listening right now thinking the very exact same as us because I believe it's a 5-5 locally is when the COVID list, sadly, in this world we live in, comes out. And that's when you find out there's any new names or guys come off the list. I want to give some love quickly to the Anaheim Ducks. You know, I long-term, I still wonder about them offensively. I think that's, 13 goals or so in the last 3 games. But Ricky Raquel has been on fire. I was fired up to pickup friend of the podcast the other day, Adam Henrique, got me a shorthanded point. Don't ask me why there's shorthanded points in one of my leagues, but there is. I got a game-winning goal in OT. I got 1-1. I'll happily take that from a stream. So I wanted to give some love to Anaheim. And again, I would say keep tabs at this point in time, and my fantasy thoughts will come out on Sunday. Kevin Shattenkirk, guys, I think three games in a row coming into tonight's action, he's got at least a point.
Good note there for sure. And two other things for Anaheim. We were looking, me and Robbie, at the even strength point leaders since the beginning of February. In the top 15, 20, you will see Raquel's name. You'll see Max Comtois' name. You'll also see Jason Robertson from the Stars, who was held off the board yesterday, but his per 60 metrics are off the charts. So those are three guys that might be available in somebody's league that have been really on the money since the beginning of February, you know, for those teams. So that's a really good nugget to take in. And then also one other thing for Friday's slate for the Avalanche, if Makar remains out, Sam Girard is up to fifth among all defensemen in points per game this year. Don't sleep on that player in DFS.
Well, and think about the Avalanche here, Nick, with guys on the back end. Bowen Byram didn't even make an offensive impact this year. He didn't have to. Devon Toews stepped up early in the season. Makar carried his weight when he was healthy. Now we have Sam Girard playing out of his mind. I mean, organizationally, that is a beautiful place to be in. I do want to touch on the Ducks real quick. In a keeper league, this team's future is so bright. Comtois lit it up in the Q. He lit it up in the A. He's lighting it up in the NHL, tied for team high in points with Ricky Racks. You got guys like Trevor Zegras, who is going to be an 80-point player minimum in the league. He's going to be a 50-assist player minimum in the league. And then you have guys on the back end like Jamie Drysdale, who is going to be a perfect complement to a guy like Campus Lindholm, or to a guy if they bring Kevin Shattenkirk back, all that kind of stuff. The organization is bright. And finally, gentlemen, we will see the true John Gibson. When the team can consistently score in front of him, we will get the value in fantasy finally for one of the best goalies in the league.
Yeah, because we do forget the first half, John Gibson was exceptional. Imagine what he would do with run support, right? I just want to lastly say the volcano that's about to erupt, his name is Nathan MacKinnon. I think he had 42 shots on goal the other night against Arizona. He had 10. Like, I think if you want to talk about hammer jobs, Bob, and I hammered Calgary last night, by the way, because no team loses when a coach makes a debut. At least I feel that way. So they beat Montreal. It's got to be Colorado. And maybe you look at Nathan MacKinnon scoring a goal if you want to take a look at that prop tonight, because this guy's ready to erupt and he wants to score so badly.
They're definitely a good parlay partner, and they were a good parlay partner the other night with Montreal or even Edmonton. And yeah, maybe if you want to take a look at the college hoop slate, you take a big favorite there, you take Colorado in the, on the ice, and you know, maybe you can put together like an even money parlay on a Friday. You know, yeah,
throw
I mean?
Georgetown in there too, Bobby, get that going.
Hey, maybe Georgetown.
Not Duke. No.
No, Duke is gone. They yes, say goodbye. And Virginia's out of the ACC tournament as well.
When's March Madness start, by the way?
It starts next week. Friday.
Okay. So I know it's ready there than it is here, but
get ready. Okay.
By the way, Waiver Wire James, who will be joining us Monday, is making a blockbuster in a keeper league right now. He's trading Elias Pettersson and Tarasenko for Mitch Marner so they can stack Marner with Matthews. This is crazy. We will break that down with Waiver Wire on Monday.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. And Nick, thanks so much for coming
on.
Nick, follow Nick's work at Sportsnet and on Twitter, of course, where he has quite a unique but must follow presence at the Golden Muzzy. So thanks, buddy.
That is an accurate analysis, Pete, guys. I love jumping on with you. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, man. So for Bob Bender, Nick Alberga, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again on Monday, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Hit us up over the weekend. Enjoy the games. Talk to you then.